Yesterday, we heard a story about La Crosse area residents who recently learned of PFAS contamination in their drinking water. But in the northeastern Wisconsin town of Peshtigo, people have been drinking bottled water for years because of PFAS pollution. The contamination there stems from the use of firefighting foam that contained PFAS at Tyco's fire training facility in Marinette. As Danielle Kading reports, residents are still no closer to a permanent source of safe drinking water.
Kayla Furton sits on the porch of her childhood home in Peshtigo, just offshore drive overlooking Green Bay. The property has been in her family for decades, and to her, it's more than just a house.
It's the history, the land we grew up on. It's been so fun swimming in the bay with the kids. And the playhouse that we have is the same playhouse I played in growing up.
The mother of three bought the home from her parents when she moved back to the area with her husband, Dean, in 2016. In 2018, they learned their home is one of many affected by PFAS contamination from Tyco's facility in Marinette.
I fear that we don't even know the full extent of the impact on the community and really especially on the kids.
The chemicals have been linked to serious health issues, including kidney cancer, fertility issues, and thyroid disease. Furton was diagnosed with thyroid disease a year after they moved back. She can't say for sure that it's due to the contamination. Her family has been drinking bottled water for years now. PFAS has seeped into so many parts of their lives that they even give their pet chickens filtered water.
They get very loud. They want us to bring their scraps out.
Research has shown a link between PFAS concentrations in hens' drinking water and the levels detected in eggs. Furton, who's also a town supervisor, says it just highlights the multiple paths of exposure.
It shouldn't be a normal part of life that the water coming into your home isn't safe.
Peshtigo was the first of many communities in the state to deal with pollution from the so-called forever chemicals.
And we haven't even sampled.
That's Peshtigo resident and former hydrogeologist Jeff Lamont. He points out most communities haven't tested for PFAS even at the state's request. Once they do, he thinks the number affected by the chemicals will only grow. Lamont pours a glass of water from his Culligan water dispenser. For the last 3 years, he's been drinking bottled water and using a filtration system paid for by Tyco and its parent company, Johnson Controls. They've been willing to fund extension of a water line from the city of Marinette to the town.
The fault for not getting extension to water, I would have to put with the town of Peshtigo.
He says town officials kept kicking the can down the road. Still, Johnson Controls Chief Sustainability Officer Katie McGinty says it's the best option.
This time next year, we could have clean water flowing through a new municipal water line.
But it's not as simple as putting pipes in the ground. Building a water line would require annexing the town to the city. Not all Peshtigo residents were thrilled with the idea because they would likely face higher taxes and more regulation. Now the Marinette City Council has passed a resolution against extending water to the town. Before the vote, Marinette Mayor Steve Genesot said questions remained over who would bear the responsibility and cost to own, operate, and maintain the water line.
We've got our own separate issues that the city is dealing with this contamination issue.
Peshtigo's newly elected town chair, Cindy Boyle, says the move was unexpected and disappointing.
I think the more options that you have, the better, but we have other options.
Those include going to the city of Peshtigo for water. Whatever the solution, Christine Haig with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says Tyco still has to identify how far the contamination goes and who needs clean water.
We don't believe that we have the answers to those questions yet.
Tyco and Johnson Controls dispute that, and they're eager to move discussions forward about a permanent water source for residents. So is Kayla Furton.
If we focus on the positive outcome, which is clean water for everyone, I think we'll get there.
She just doesn't know how much longer they'll have to wait. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Now we continue the conversation about PFAS and travel to Rhinelander, where the city's water system has had PFAS in some wells. We're going to talk about some creative ways they're trying to both evaluate and fix the problem there. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you had this concern in your community, whether it's one of the ones we've talked about so far or one we haven't? Let us know how it has affected your life. What questions do you have about PFAS contamination? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Chris Fredrickson is mayor of Rhinelander. Mayor Fredrickson, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, well, I appreciate it.
And James Tingem is director of the Geological Engineering Program and an associate professor at UW-Madison. Jim, welcome to the show.
Rob, it's a pleasure to be on.
And Mayor Fredrickson, let's start with you. When did you first learn about a problem with a concern of PFAS in water in Rhinelander?
We did voluntary testing in March, which we got the results later on in the year of 2019, I believe, when it popped for PFAS, or when we got those first set of results. Within a day or two, we shut the wells down, or actually the well. We started out with well 7. It took a while to get to well 8.
You still have enough water supply without PFAS contamination. It sounds like this is affecting a couple particular wells in your community.
Correct. Actually, it's about 25% of our water supply. That being the case, we are getting by the skin of our teeth. There are a couple of issues that, as you discuss and learn more about PFAS, as to whether or not a new well would even benefit us, or if the plume is already larger than that. Also knowing the fact that as aquifers, as I've learned, travel or move, this chemical is a forever chemical. The best thing to do is to remediate it or pull it from the water source through filtration, as far as I understand at this point.
And Jim, Mayor Fredrickson just mentioned tracking how contaminated water moves, and that's part of where you come in. What kind of things are you doing in Rhinelander to try to figure out how this water is moving under the surface?
Sure. Well, Mayor Fredrickson indicated that they had PFAS in well 7. That was 590 parts per trillion. That's well over the Wisconsin recommended enforcement standard of 40 parts per trillion for that particular compound. Well, if that is in that well, it has to come from somewhere. And so what my research team is doing is trying to scope out the three-dimensional image of the subsurface in the area of those wells so we can hopefully understand where the PFAS is coming from, how it's getting to those wells and other potentially impacted areas.
Can you talk a little bit about the technology here, Jim? I've heard it described as radar, but sort of pointed down instead of pointed up, you know, like we think of looking for airplanes. Can you tell us a little more about what you're doing to image what's under Rhinelander?
Yeah, so my research team was up there 2 weeks ago in the vicinity of those wells, and we were indeed using ground-penetrating radar, which the airport uses and weather stations use. Instead of pointing the radar up, we point it down, and that electromagnetic signal subsurface, such as the groundwater table, layers of clay, or the bedrock surface.
And Mayor Fredrickson, I understand you reached out to UW-Madison and Jim, and you're looking for other insight. What kind of things are you doing to reach out and try to bring in people to figure out how to track this and how to fix it?
Once I found out we had a problem with it, I did my due diligence in looking at other areas that have researched it and what they've done in the past to learn from Alpha Deltas and their projects. We reached out to the southern part of Michigan and asking how they dealt with some of the removal of this. Because the next part of it is being ubiquitous chemicals. How do we destroy it or get rid of it? And whether it's bad just out there or is it bad in consumption? What are the issues so we can drill down the most cost-effective and best way to eliminate the health risks from it? That being the case, We watch what Peshtigo's done, what French Island's doing, what Woodbury's doing, and tried to learn from those things to decipher how we can get to the best solution for our future. And that's the fix it. So we've taken an approach of no blame, no fault. We're just moving forward with every resource available to us in the city to fix this problem. That being the consideration, the best way I can see to allow that to happen is a competitive resource. And what we have as a resource is we have the area that we have a known contaminant. We know approximately what was in the wells prior, so to study it as the aquifer goes on, and allow engineers and scientists, such as the research team from UW, to actually really, really digest this material and put it out there for cost-effective ways and best ways to fix it. Basically, you give wings to the people that can fly and let them fly.
And Jim, once we have good maps and know how the water is flowing and what, you know, where the contaminants are coming from and going, how are you hoping that that can start to point us towards solutions?
Yeah, so our phase of investigation right now is the pathways for that contaminant transport. You know, once we understand those pathways, then we can look at a range of drinking water solutions that might include remediation, as Mayor Frederickson indicated, whether that is a groundwater pump and treat, a reactive barrier wall, thermal incineration. We can look at that as possible solutions to destroy or collect the compounds. Also, very much looking at how we can protect the wellhead protection or a zone around the wells so that we ensure those sources of PFAS don't make it to the well. And, you know, ultimately, we may have to abandon those wells and consider putting other sources of drinking water supply for the city in other locations.
We're picking up our conversation with Rhinelander Mayor Chris Frederickson and James Tingem, Director of the UW-Madison Geological Engineering Program, talking about an innovative project in Rhinelander to map the city's subsurface and learn more about why there are elevated levels of PFAS in the water that feeds a couple of the wells in that city. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a local concern about PFAS contamination in your community, a question for our guests. If you're part of an effort to tackle that problem, call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jim, I know with some pollutants, it very much matters what kind of topography and geology you have under the surface. Is something we learned in Rhinelander going to necessarily apply in another community with PFAS problems?
Yes, that is definitely what we're hoping to provide, that pathway on these techniques. So like if you're in Eau Claire and you have very similar sandy and gravel subsurface, you might learn from Rhinelander, French Island and La Crosse, also a very sandy terrain. So we're hoping to apply these techniques for the general use across Wisconsin and beyond. You know, really that Wisconsin idea where we take our research to the boundaries of the state and beyond. Rhinelander is up near that northern boundary of the state and just a great place to be doing this research.
And Mayor Frederickson, you mentioned that you've reached out to leaders in other communities that were already dealing with this problem. Is this becoming common enough that you feel like there's a good shared body of knowledge out there for a local leader in your position?
I tell you the truth, it's on the map. It's being talked about now, getting some action moving forward, both with our legislation. The governor put $10 million in. It was scratched for a fix-it plan that was a little bit different. As they play politics, one of the things is I'm not a politician. I truly represent my people. So moving towards that fix as fast and as amicable as we can is the ideal condition, and that's what we work for. I believe it has that steam. Then again, I've also been pressed into the issue deeper than most at this point. But I also hope to offer those solutions to the new partners that come to the table afterwards, and they can learn from us and also have a good product out there to put clean water availability to their residents, to their people.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Natalie is with us in Menominee, Michigan. Natalie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to tell us about, Natalie?
Well, I heard you say a moment ago that, at least you were wondering if people were drinking bottled water instead of perhaps their municipal supply or whatever was available to them. And I just want to tell you that when I researched this because of the threat to the water, the Menominee River water, I wrote to about 10 bottled water companies. Two of them wrote me back and said no. And I asked them, are you testing your water for PFAS? Is your water you bottle and sell to us PFAS free? Eight of them didn't reply. Two of them said, we don't test for that. The only people that said they did anything with PFAS was Culligan said, we can set you up with a service that will filter it out. But, you know, just like if you buy or if you in the lobby of where you work or whatever, you see a bubbler from Culligan water, that's not PFAS free.
Natalie, thanks for the call. I don't know, Jim, have you looked into this, whether we can treat our water at the household level and if we're testing for PFAS in the water we buy? What do you know about that, if anything?
Yes, well, first, one of the problems is we don't have an in-force groundwater standard in Wisconsin yet. It has not been legislatively acted upon. You know, so we really don't even know what the target levels are for what we would consider safe, drinkable water. So with that said, I'd have an abundance of caution. And for if your source of water potentially has PFAS in it or does have PFAS in it, I do recommend some form of filtered or treated water at your house, bottled water. And I'm really not familiar with what the companies out there providing bottled water are doing quite yet, a little bit outside of my range, but I would hope that that all is coming so that we know what is in our water, because I really believe citizens, we should have clean water, clean air, clean energy, and the like as fundamental rights. And, you know, we're leading that battle in trying to provide it at Rhinelander and other cities across Wisconsin and the upper Midwest.
Natalie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Mayor Fredrickson, as I understand it, your residents in Rhinelander are not at the point where they're having to get outside water, bottled water, right? You've shut down the affected wells. Your other wells at this point are still drinkable.
Yes, correct. We shut down the wells. We tested. It was monthly at first and then bi-monthly. And I don't know if we moved to quarterly because the numbers have not changed, but we might be on bi-monthly. We're going to move to quarterly. To continue to ensure the safety of that water. The testing is expensive. And personally, if you wanted to, Northland Lakes in Crandon does do home testing for PFAS. Now, the collection of the PFAS sample is a little bit tricky. So there, I believe the DNR has an accepted collection policy on that, and you can get that from their website. At least that's from discussions, some of the things that we've learned, because we will look to collect other samples also around our affected area soon.
And Jim, do you want to see someone, I don't know, the EPA at the national level or somebody in the state level give firmer guidelines on what's an acceptable level of PFAS? You mentioned a recommended maximum in Wisconsin.
Yes, that would definitely help the engineering community, cities such as Rhinelander, in understanding what their target is. So do we need to put in a granular activated carbon filtration train? And, you know, also not just for public wells, but for private wells. You know, so Rhinelander area has lots of private wells that are likely not being tested. You know, I will note that at Crescent Spring, which is over a mile from the Rhinelander domestic wells, they are also getting high hits of PFHXS. The same compound in the city wells is over a mile away at another spring. So really need to move forward and just understand what's happening here in Rhinelander and other impacted communities.
Mayor Fredrickson, what would you like to see, if anything, from the state or federal governments to help communities like yours deal with this?
I would like a first them to buy into the philosophy that we're working on. The DNR and a lot of the places work based on a perceived responsible party, establishing, you know, who's responsible to do what and in what time. I'd really like to move past that and get to just the point where we're fixing it. There's a fair amount of engineering companies out there. We put out an RFQ for our wells 7 and 8 was basically a request for qualifications to understand what engineering companies have technologies to work with on this. As those are developing, I'd like to see us use well 7 and 8 to constantly test the emerging technologies. So as it gets cheaper, as it gets more advanced is we can drive that number down to even get it down to zero. Now, Wisconsin hasn't come up with a number. The EPA came up with 70, but I believe Europe's down to like 2 in a lot of its places. So obviously the progression may happen. So let's figure out, one with bait and transport, which is what Dr. Tinsham really works on, how long, how much, and what we can expect to filter for these things. And then using new technologies, using that commerce of competitive nature between the engineering firms and the students and the education places to compete. To fix it. There's a lot of brilliant minds already working on this.
And Jim, briefly, in just half a minute, what is the biggest open question you want an answer for when it comes to PFAS?
Where the funding is going to come from? Hopefully from the Senate's infrastructure package that will help cities such as Rhinelander. With funding, we can attack and address this issue.
Jim, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
And Mayor Fredrickson, thanks for being with us. We've been talking to Chris Fredrickson, Mayor of Rhinelander, and James Tinsham, Director of the UW-Madison Geological Engineering Program. We talked to them today about efforts to model the Rhinelander subsurface and understand PFAS contamination, how it moves around underground, and ultimately to find solutions to the problem.